This Sunday, our last Sunday of the Easter season, we continue to travel with Paul and his companions as they make their way in the world as followers of Jesus. A theme of freedom is woven through Paul's story. Freedom. Freedom from all that binds and oppresses us and all God's children. This is what life in Christ promises and provides. But as is often the case with God and the things of God, peace with God and freedom in Christ does not always mean being free from the world's constraints. Paul goes back to that place where people pray. Paul and his companions meet a girl who lacks freedom. She is a slave, and she has this spirit that causes her to tell people's fortunes. And she knows these men, Paul and his friends, they are followers of Jesus, and she calls them slaves, but slaves to God. This spirit is more like a demon, because after being harassed by this possessed girl for days, Paul's done with that. Can you imagine? It would be so horrible just following along, slaves of God, all day long. So Paul's done with that, and he orders the spirit to leave her. And it does. And the owners are upset. They've lost their way to make their money. So they take Paul and the others and complain to the authorities, "These men are disturbing the city." This is what happens, right? When freedom comes and people aren't able to exploit others, they get upset. And isn't it true that often when Christians seek freedom for others and fight for justice, this is what we see: the status quo disturbed, those who were benefiting disturbed. So the story continues with Paul and his friends being beaten and imprisoned. But what happens next? They sing hymns and they pray, and in their relationship with God, they are free. Now, this doesn't make any sort of sense unless you've experienced it or open yourself to that possibility that even in what constrains us, we can be free through our relationship with God. And then, such a great story, then there's an earthquake and all the chains are unfastened, the doors, they're opened. That freedom that the Christians had known internally, God makes evident to everyone in the story. And in something of a twist, an unexpected move, probably not what I would have done, right? The chains are broken, but they don't leave. They stay there. Perhaps Paul knew the guard would get into trouble. And we hear that the guard considers suicide. He's so scared of what will happen. But then they're still there. It's an act of faith that Paul and his friends stay, and yet another person finds freedom, the guard and his family. So all this in the context of Mother's Day. How do we do that? It is possible. It is. And in the context of this last Sunday of Easter, the Sunday following the Ascension, what is the grace that God desires for you and for me on this day? Because we often refer to God as Father and have as the church exclusively for thousands of years until recently, Mother's Day is a great invitation to think about God as our mother. For God is our mother as much as God is our father, for God is the creator of the universe beyond all understanding. God has given us clues and glimpses so that we might be able to imagine God and connect with God. In the Bible, we hear about God as both father and mother, but given the culture in which the stories were told and the scriptures written, and since that time, the male image for God has predominated. Still, we hear about God as mother in the Bible actually quite a bit. Paul R. Smith wrote a book published in the 1990s entitled, "Is It Okay to Call God Mother? Considering the Feminine Face of God. I will admit to you, I've not read this book. Not yet. I just discovered it. But I thought it was so great that he has a chapter entitled The Bible Verses You Never Memorized. Right? Right. Like Hosea 13:8. God is described as a mother bear. Like a bear, robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and tear them asunder. Or Deuteronomy 32:18, God who gives birth, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. Or Isaiah 66:13, God is comforting mother. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And another from Isaiah, God is compared to a nursing mother. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of the womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Isaiah 42:14, God is a woman in labor. For a long time I have held my peace, I have kept myself still and restrained myself. Now I cry out like a woman in labor, I gasp and I pant. And then perhaps a little better known from the New Testament, both in Matthew and Luke, God is described as a mother hen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Throughout the Bible, and there's so many more verses, God is portrayed as a woman and often a mother with fierce love, a protective love, a desire to care for us and nurture us. We hear of nursing Mother God, birthing God, Creator God. And what about Jesus, God incarnate, fully human, fully divine, and in his humanity a man? Well, even here, there is the feminine. Jesus has often been called the wisdom of God, and in the Bible called the wisdom of God. Connecting Christ to the personification of divine wisdom that we find in the book of wisdom and in the book of Proverbs, often referred to as Lady Wisdom. We just celebrated an important day in the life of Christ and in the life of the church, Ascension Day, which was this past Thursday. The Ascension is that event when the resurrected Christ is said to have ascended into heaven. Therefore, he is no longer walking among his disciples in his risen state, but we say that Christ ascended at that time into the heavens to fill all things. Christ becomes bigger and beyond the constraints of any one time or place, any one culture or group. And we will pray in our Eucharistic prayer today in what we call the preface, that we might be there with Christ. The focus of that prayer is on our eternal life with Christ, but we share in that, in the first fruits of eternal life now. And there is a lot of freedom. Through Christ and our connection with Christ, we have now, certainly in a limited way, but still a connection with the eternal perspective. And there can be a lot of freedom in that. It's not our given nature, though, right? The eternal perspective is not what's right before us every single day. David Hayward is the blogger who writes what's called the Naked Pastor Blog. Isn't that a fun name? You might go check that out online later. He draws cartoons as part of this blog. Some of you may have seen one that's gone around the net for years now. A man is straining, holding his arms up into the air, reaching for God. You see the word God up there in the air, but this man is being held back by a ball and chain attached to his ankle. And on the ball is written the words, my theology. Yeah. my theology. And sometimes, of course, my theology, your theology, was never really mine or yours, but was what we were taught. And depending on what you were taught, perhaps as a child, that can be good or bad or a mixed bag. A limited theology, meaning a limited way of imagining and thinking about God, a limited theology can hold us back from knowing the God of grace who is our friend. Our friend who comes to us in so many ways, both as father and mother. This is a both and sort of grace. But the mother part can be a new idea to some. It can be confusing, but for others, and maybe even for those confused at first, it can bring a new freedom. I once went on a retreat that was entitled Praying with Feminine Images of God. And it just happened that it was a group of women. Anyone could have been there. But at the end of the retreat, it was kind of on your own and silent, but at the end, we got back together, and to hear how so many women who'd never thought about this before, how they were transformed by this, how they felt better about themselves, how they felt connected to God in a new way. And this can be true for men as well. Paul and his companions, they didn't leave that guard behind, did they? They stayed in conversation with him. Christ brings freedom from all that limits us. Christ enables us to celebrate all aspects of being human in the way we show forth the goodness of God, how we do, each of us. Because each of us is created in God's image. Each of us, in our own way, shares something of God in our relationships, with our family, with our friends, in our various communities. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for God, who is our mother, and for all mothers who reflect that aspect of God to us, helping us to experience the God of love, who in the Bible is described as mother and father. Let us pray. Help us, O God, to know the freedom that we have in you and to open our hearts and minds to the many ways you share yourself with us, the many ways that you come to us and dwell with us. Amen.